I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life.
What a good life it is to be able to say, I have trusted the Lord as my Savior, and it is a good life. Thank you for joining me once again today, and we'll be looking at our subject, Bird's Eye View for Me and You. We're going through a systematic study of the New Testament. Not an in-depth study, but a bird's eye view of each of the New Testament books in the Bible. And I'm trusting that you are following along with us as we study the Word of God. Today we're going to be looking into the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. First, let me remind you to go to our site, our website, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. You can download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also listen to this program on that website once again and other programs of It's a Good Life. That's lrwm.org. You can also write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. I want to pray with you and for you. If you'll write me today, send me prayer requests. Go to the website, lrwm.org. Leave me a message on that website. You can do that by sending an email. And I'll be glad to pray with you and for you on the request that you have on your heart. Well, today we want to take a bird's eye view of Colossians. We want to look into the book of Colossians. The key verse in this book, I believe there's a couple of key verses here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And of course, the author of this book, of this section of Scripture, Colossians, we know that it's written by the inspiration of God, and Paul the Apostle was used of the Lord to write this down. And Paul the Apostle, of course, was the author. And Timothy was probably a scribe. In Colossians 1:1 it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Timothy was a helper of Paul the apostle. And then the date of the writing of the book Colossians was probably around AD 62 or 63. And this would be during Paul's imprisonment at Rome. The setting would be in Colossae, a large city with the mongrel philosophies of Greeks and Eastern mysticism combined. Now, these were all dangerous to the simplicity of the gospel for the church. Paul writes to counteract the influences that pressed on him. And let me back up here and say that these teachings of the Greeks and Eastern mysticism were dangerous to the simplicity of the gospel of Christ, and we have that today in our societies around the world, people trying to make something hard out of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. He died once. He died for those people who would call upon His name, those people who would be willing to turn, repent, to turn from their sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, the purpose of the book of Colossians is this: Christ is everything. Since we are followers of Christ and not followers of pagan gods or ways, we should live like Him with our minds set on the things above. And this is what Paul's trying to get across to the people of Colossae here in that Colossian church. An outline of the book would go something like this. First, we see in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3 that there's thanksgiving. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, Paul says. And then in verse 9 and through 12, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So Paul is talking about thanksgiving with prayer in those verses. And then we see that God's work in Christ is, first of all, redemption. Colossians 1:13 and 14 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." That's how anyone is redeemed. That's how anyone is bought back from the slave market of sin, is through the blood of Christ. And that means forgiveness of sin. And then Paul talks about the excellence of Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. He says, "Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Christ is excellent. There is excellence in Christ. He is God. And then Paul talks about reconciliation in Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 through chapter 2 and verse 3. We'll read a couple of verses here, Colossians 1, verse 20 and 22. It says, "And having made peace through His blood of His cross," through the blood of His cross, "by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Verse 22 says, "In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Before a person comes to the Lord and receives Him as Savior, the Bible says that we are enemies of God. That may hurt some of your feelings. You may not understand. You may believe that simply because you've been born and raised in a Christian country, quote unquote, that you are a Christian. But the Bible tells us that the only way that we become a Christian is by receiving Christ as our Savior. So Paul talks about redemption. He talks about the excellence of Christ. And he talks about reconciliation. And then he talks about false teaching and he gives warnings. He says, first of all, in chapter 2 and verses 4 through 7, "Walk in Christ according to redemption." Because you have been redeemed, you need to walk a certain way. You need to live your life not for man, not for yourself, but for the Lord. He also goes on to say in chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, that in Christ, believers are complete. Let's read a few verses there in chapter 2, verses 8, and starting with verse 8. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." What do we need? We need Jesus in our lives. We need to be complete in the Lord. And I remind you once again, the only way to be complete is to be redeemed by Him through His blood, by asking Him to come into your heart, and then we become complete. Paul also warns about heresies and controversies in the church in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. He talks about the new life in Christ in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4 and verse 6. He says there, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, "Set your minds on the things above." He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." He says, think on those things that are higher than the human philosophies and things. Set your mind upon the Lord. He goes on to say that we are to put to death these things that that we should not be thinking of in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness. And he starts mentioning all of these things about being in disobedience. And he says that now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. He says, stop those things. We're not to act like the barbarians. We're not to act like the unsaved, but we are to realize that we are saved, and because we are saved, we are to exhibit salvation. We are to exhibit that we have been born again, not to exhibit to be saved, but because we are saved and on our way to heaven. And he says, put on these things. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God in chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. He goes ahead and mentions all of these things. He says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says we are to train and help each other. As we grow, we help others to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's so much in this book of Colossians. I pray that you will go back and you will read the entire book of Colossians and understand that Paul is giving these people comfort. He's helping these people to understand that they have passed from death into life and they are on their way to heaven. Let no man, he says, let no man turn you, and not turn you in the sense of losing your salvation, but turn you to the rudiments of the world. You're to live as saved people, and don't let anybody confuse you. And we see applications in this book and lessons. Colossae was a true picture of the world today. There are false gods and philosophies. The indulgence in fleshly worship takes place not only back in Colossians and in Colossae during that time that Paul was writing, but it happens today. Persecutions to those who follow Christ. There are people being persecuted today. We don't see so much of it in our country as we live in the United States of America, but all around the world, people are being persecuted for following Christ. And Paul talks about the need for separation, for normal practices. We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world, but not the people of the world. We need to go to the people and let them know that they can be saved and be on their way to heaven the same as we are. And then Paul reminds us, and as we see this today, some who remain faithful to Christ. There are some who are remaining faithful to the Lord. Some have turned away. Some are not exhibiting Christ. But some remain faithful, and they are telling other people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the supremacy of Christ in this book, the source of all creation. He holds all things together. On and on, Paul goes on and he says that there are practical ways to live with Christ in your life. Put to death anything that belongs to the sinful and earthly nature. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 11. I pray today that you have trusted the Lord as your Savior. Have you repented? That means to turn about, being willing to lay aside all of those things that have caused you a problem in not receiving Christ as Savior. The only thing that's separating you from the love of God is yourself. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Ask Him to come into your heart, and He'll save you. Well, it's been good being with you today. Until this next time, when you hear me say, it is a good life, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.